Now we are. Okay, last week we looked at what it takes to be an everyday believer. Because, you know, people sometimes just go along and they get lulled into a sense of false security, and then all of a sudden they're confronted by a crisis. And they go, oh my gosh, I got to believe. And that puts the pressure on. But you know what? We're supposed to be everyday believers. We're supposed to believe every day. And whether it's big things or little things, we're to look to God. It says so in the Word of God. In all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So we looked at these things, and we need to be everyday believers. The Word of God permeating our lives and every aspect of our life. You know, you're not just a believer when you come to fellowship, but then when you go to work, you're something else. And we are to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And so for that to happen, He must be a vital part, an integral part of all we do and think and all the decisions we make. So why should we want to believe God, and why do we or why should we not want to be faithful, an everyday believer? Why do we want to be steadfast on His Word? Well, first and foremost, because He loves us, and He did so much for us. And our loving response should be to do our best for Him. Plus, it says that we are to keep His commandments if we love Him. And you know, we have to see that God is a reality. God has to be real for you. He has to be as real. He's, you know, God is reality. He's more real than this stupid table, because He made the table. And God has shown Himself to be real to us. There's more proof for God. If you were to talk to an atheist or an agnostic, there's more proof for God than there is against God. As a matter of fact, it's impossible to disprove God, isn't it? Mm-hmm. How could you disprove God? You couldn't. But there's many proofs, and we're going to see some of them in His Word. So to love God with all we have, to acknowledge Him in all we have and all we do, He has to be real and vital in our hearts and in our minds. He has to be an integral part of what we're doing. We have to choose to do His will because we love Him. Let's go to 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, and we're going to start in chapter 5. And verse 1 it says, when you get there, chapter 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. You know, if you love God, you love His Son. If you love His Son, you love Him. Right? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Well, if you're going to keep His commandments, you have to do it every day, don't you? You have to do it throughout the day, because He gives us commandments. And one of His commandments is to be loving, to love Him and to love one another. So just that alone, you know, means that you have to have Him with you all day long, as well as some of the other things He tells us, you know, to be honest and forthright and all the other things that He tells us to do, which are many. And they're all easy things. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. They're not difficult to take. They're not sad to do. For whosoever, or whatsoever, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our believing. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Okay, now we have verses 7 and 8, and it sounds kind of weird. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. But that's not really how it should read. According to how Walter Cummins translates it, and so on, it's according to really how the Greek text read, it says, for there are three that bear record, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. You know, back in the day of Pentecost, God did not rely on the eyewitness accounts of the apostles, did he? He didn't rely on that. I mean, they were eyewitnesses. I guess they would have swore up and down on a stack of Bibles. They would have probably swore their lives. But God didn't rely on that. God relied on his witness. His witness was Holy Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit that he gave those men. That was his witness. It says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. You know, back in verse 7, it says, for there are three that bear record. The word record is the word witness. And here again, it says, the witness of God is greater. The witness of God is the Spirit, Holy Spirit. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. We have Holy Spirit in ourselves, don't we? Our new birth spirit is what bears record, testifies of the truth, of the reality of God and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's pretty great, isn't it? We have the reality. We have that truth, that witness, that record. And it's always there. You know, we have great records in human history. We have records like Declaration of Independence. You know, that's the record of what those men declared and sent to the king and the reasoning why we declared independence. Yeah, that's a great record. It's written down. It's a written record. But we have the record of God. We have Holy Spirit, which is amazing. And we also have his word, which is his record, isn't it? That's his record of what he has done, what he says, what he wants, what he thinks, and everything else. Let's go to John chapter 14. We were talking last night, my wife and I and Andrew, and we were talking about when we got into the Word the first time. And one of the things that we did was, well, Dr. Worrell teaches originally in the Power for Mind Living class, he said, if you put aside all other materials, you know, quit watching television, quit reading newspapers, quit reading magazines, and just read the church epistles, the Word of God, for 6 months, at the end of 6 months, you won't recognize yourself. And my wife and I talked about how we did that when we first got into the Word. I didn't do it for 6 months. I did it for about 5 years, really. And sometimes I'll look on TV and I'll see an old TV show from the late 70s and I'll go, I don't remember that show. Because I didn't watch TV from 1974 to 1982 or 83. I never hardly watched TV. First of all, when we got married, we didn't have a TV. And we didn't miss it. Because we were doing stuff. But all I ever, you know, hardly went to the movies. You know, didn't have a newspaper delivered. Didn't get any magazines other than the Way magazine. So that was my reading materials. That was my entertainment. That's what I did. You know? Music we listened to was God music, Christian music. It wasn't rock and roll or Beethoven or Brahms or anything else. Yeah. Anyway, that's really, you know, and it's a great thing to do periodically. Just cut out everything else and just put your heart and mind into the Word again. And it really will make a difference in your life. John chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, this is Jesus Christ talking, if ye love me, keep my commandments. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? If you love me, keep my commandments. Where did he get his commandments? From God. Right, because he said he always did God's will. He said that the words he spoke were the words that God gave him. So his commandments would be the commandments that God gave him to give. And he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. You know, if you want a record, if you want a witness, you want it to be a true witness, don't you? A true record. And it says here that the Spirit of truth, he's going to give us that Spirit of truth. And that's the new birth Spirit it's talking about. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Wow. And when you get the Spirit, he's speaking to his disciples and apostles. He's, when you receive that Spirit, you're going to know. You're going to know that you know that you know that you know. Remember that? I mean, that's what we want to know, right? We want to know that we know that we know. That God is real. That he's in us. That what he did is the truth. He has given us the witness, the record, the proof. What a great God. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Well, that's pretty great. That's a promise. And you know, the word truth there, where it says in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, the word truth is the word aletheia in Greek. It means, or it signifies, the reality lying at the basis of an appearance, or the manifested or veritable essence of a matter. Sounds pretty philosophical. But it's the very essence of what is. The Spirit of truth, the very essence. You know, there sometimes things are not what they appear to be, right? But the very essence, when you dig down. You know, like you look at a pane of glass. The pane of glass looks really smooth, doesn't it? But if you put it under a microscope, it's not quite as smooth as it appears. See, the real essence, the real truth is not all that smooth. It's made up of crystals. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 1. See, God is real, and he wants us to know that we know that we know that he is real. He wants us to know the absolute truth concerning him, concerning his son, Jesus Christ. He wants us to know the absolute truth concerning the world and everything that goes on. He wants us to know so that we can discern between good and evil. So let's see, chapter 1, verse 20. It says, for the invisible things of him of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, just looking at the magnificence of the creation, it is obvious that there is a God. And that those that are created, that are made, formed and created, are without excuse. There is no excuse. No man has an excuse not to believe God. You know, the greatest science is supposed to be based on facts, what you can measure, what you can see, what you can quantify. Right, Michelle?
Absolutely.
She's our resident scientist along with Alan. They're both science-based people. But the greatest scientists, the greatest minds like Sir Isaac Newton and Einstein and guys like that, all agreed that when they looked at the universe, there had to be a God. They said it's impossible for this to happen by accident. Just impossible. It's impossible. When you look at a flower and you put it under a microscope, it's impossible that just happened by accident. Pretty wild. So it says, for the invisible things of him, of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations or reasonings or logic, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's intellectualism. Intellectualism. You know, man thinking he's smarter than he is. Thinking he has all the answers. And when you get to that point, God says you're a fool. Nobody wants to be a fool. But usually the most intellectual people are fools, because they reject God. Okay, let's go to chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. What a great God. Nobody has an excuse. Look at the stars in the sky. Look at nature around you, how things work, how things grow, how everything is interrelated somehow or another. You know, the kingdom, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, the kingdom of man, the kingdom of God. They all relate. How the minerals are ingested and become part of life. And that's pretty crazy when you think about it. Chapter 8, verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Referring to that new birth spirit which Jesus Christ said in John chapter, wherever we were before, 14, he said it's the Spirit of truth. Right? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know, and that's the spirit of man. The spirit of man is full of fear, isn't he? He's full of fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The new birth spirit in all its manifestation. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It bears witness. It testifies. It testifies. I should tell you where the word testify comes from. It's from the Latin. Testicle. Yeah, that's where it comes from. They would, in Roman court, they would take a man and grab him by the privates and squeeze it, and he would tell the truth. And that's what it meant to testify. It's not what it means in Greek. In Greek, it's the word martus. It means a witness of the truth. It doesn't mean somebody dying, but it means to witness the truth. So if you're a martyr, you're a witness for the truth. You're a witness. So here it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness. It beareth record. Same words that we saw before. It bears record. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We have proof of the reality that we are children of God. We have absolute proof that we know that we know that we... It's better than your birth certificate. You know, they could... somebody could falsify a birth certificate, couldn't they? Can't falsify Holy Spirit. But you could falsify, fake a birth certificate. Many people have done it. Pretty crazy. Pretty great. When we manifest Holy Spirit, it is a witness to us that of the reality of God and of Jesus Christ and who we are. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 4. Now, you know, Corinthians is a reproof epistle, right? It's a reproof epistle. They weren't doing what they were supposed to do. Said, wait a minute. You're supposed to do. But the way it starts off, he says, Paul says, by revelation from God, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Even though they weren't doing what they were supposed to, Paul was thankful to God for them. And we're thankful to God for all believers. That in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge. Knowledge there is gnosis, meaning experiential knowledge. You take knowledge, you get information, you put it into your brain, then you act upon it, and that's gnosis. It's a deeper knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. The testimony is the witness, the record. It says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed. Confirmed is established. It was established in you. And how is the testimony or the witness of Christ established in you? You speak in tongues. You manifest Holy Spirit. And when you manifest Holy Spirit, you know that you know that you know. It's established in your mind, in your heart, that you are a son of God, that God is real, that he's a reality, that Jesus Christ is a reality. So we come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty great. Jesus Christ is coming back. We absolutely know that we know that we know without a shadow of a doubt. The hope of the return is a reality. That's why in Thessalonians, when it talks about people falling asleep, dying, that are believers, it says that we do not grieve as others who have no hope. We grieve, certainly we grieve, but we don't grieve like people that have no hope. You know, when people are not sure, when people don't really know, when people are not certain of the reality of God and of Jesus Christ, that's pretty terrible, isn't it? You know why they grieve so bad? Number one, they grieve because they missed the person, but number two, they grieve because they don't know where they're going. There's a great sign on the way to, when I go to Reading on 422, there's one of those electric signs and it switches, you know, a billboard. And so it has, there's one that comes up and it's black with white lettering and it says, do you know where you're going? Question mark. And then it has a hyphen and it says God. Like, you know, somebody is a Christian and they paid for that to come up. But then it changes. You know what the next one comes up is? Red Robin. It's kind of stupid. And that's the way most Christians are. They don't know if they're going to Red Robin or heaven. But when you know the Word of God, when you manifest Holy Spirit, you know that you know that you know where you're going. And all hell can't stop you. You know. You have that reality in your life. It's established. You know, what's the difference between a business that starts out and a business that's established? You know, if you go do business with somebody that just starts up, you don't know if they're going to be there tomorrow, do you? When you go to an established business, you know, and one of the reasons people put on their signs established in 1922 or something is because you believe that they're going to be there tomorrow if you need them. We bought, I don't know if you guys remember, we had that green countertop up there. And we bought it at Home Depot, and it was guaranteed for life. The only problem was the company went out of business, and it cracked. And so the warranty was no good. Fortunately, Home Depot didn't go out of business, and they made it good. Okay, let's go to Timothy. 1 Timothy. First Timothy, 2 Timothy. It says in verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Same thing it says in Romans, right? Remember? He had not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Here it says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear. When God says something twice, you can rely on it, can't you? It's established. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has given us the spirit of power. He has given us the spirit of love, and he has given us the spirit of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner. We're not to be ashamed of the testimony, the record, the witness of Jesus Christ or of God. Nor me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Afflictions means, you know, what we do, what we put up with in order to serve God. We're not to be ashamed of the afflictions. We're to carry out, you know, what God would have us to do. We're not to be concerned about the afflictions, the negatives that we have to deal with on occasion. But be thou partakers of the, you know, we're to share equally in the afflictions, in the burden of the body of Christ and the church. Of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us. God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Not according to our works. And remember, we looked at holy last week and being an everyday believer. You know, we're holy. God says, I am holy, therefore be ye holy. Now, we're made holy. We have a holy calling. And so, therefore, we should act it. Why should we act it? Because we love God. He just said, if we love him, we keep his commandments. So if he says, I am holy, therefore be ye holy, is that a commandment? Sounds like a commandment. Be ye holy. God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. You know, we didn't try out for the team and make the grade. But we just believed. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, or before the overthrow of the world, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What a great thing. What a great thing. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Well, let's start in verse 9. Makes a little more sense. That in the dispensation or the administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. That's speaking of the future, right? We're going to be gathered together in Christ. In whom? In Christ also we have obtained an inheritance. You know, once we got born again, once we believed, we obtained an inheritance. Being predestinated or foreordained according to the purpose of him, of God, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He works things after the counsel of his own will, fortunately, because he's smarter than everybody else. If he listened to anybody else, it wouldn't come out so good. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the word of truth. That word of truth, that's that same word for truth, means the absolute truth, the essence, the very core of the matter. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that's our witness. It's sealed up. We can't lose it. We have it forever. We have a eternal lifetime guarantee. Not just a lifetime guarantee, because, you know, once you expire, the lifetime guarantee is over, right? But we have an eternal lifetime guarantee. Which is the earnest? We are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You know, it's the earnest, it's the down payment, and it's the proof of what's coming. You know, if you make a down payment, you usually get a receipt. The down payment is called the earnest. It's the earnest. It's the down payment of what we're going to get when we are redeemed, when the final redemption comes, when he gathers us together. And we have a proof. We have the earnest. Pretty great. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? You know, could you read somebody else's mind? No. You don't know what's in the mind of another person. Unless God would show you, right? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. See, the first spirit is the spirit of man. You know, the life that's in you, how you think, what you are, who you are. The second spirit is God as the originator of information. All information originally comes from God. And God is the originator of information and instruction. And he says, God knoweth no man. Let's see. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you can't know the things of God truly. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. You know, we have the Spirit of God by which he can give us information, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He can't know them, but we can, because we have the Spirit, and we do know them because we have Spirit. And we can know that we know that we know, Because God is a reality to us. Because we have the perfect witness, the perfect record. He has given it to us. And let's go to Colossians chapter 1. God is real. Now, what we have to do is renew our minds to that, don't we? We renew our minds to the realities of God, to the witness that He's given us. And then we choose by our free will to love Him. You know, love is a decision and a commitment, isn't it? And so we commit, we choose to love God. And when we choose to love God, we choose to keep His commandments. We choose to do what He would have us to do rather than what we would have us to do. Chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And you know, that's what we constantly aspire to do. We constantly aspire to know and understand what God wants us to do. To increase in knowledge, to increase in understanding, so that we can do God's will in our lives. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." How do you please God? By believing Him. How do you believe Him? By doing His will. "Being fruitful unto every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Wow, when you walk worthy, when you believe God, when you do what His will is, you're going to be fruitful in every good work, increasing, ever increasing in the knowledge of God. "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers, full sharers of the inheritance of the saints in light." And so, you know, we're going to be thankful. We're going to have that word in our mind. We're going to look to increase in knowledge, to be partakers, to share fully with the saints in light. Doing our part. Looking to please God in everything we do. Okay? So God is a reality, and we keep Him as a reality in our life by speaking in tongues, by studying His word and keeping in mind what He has done for us and what He has shown us and what He has proven to us. Because we have that witness in us, we know that Christ lives within us. We know that we're sons of God, and we know that all that God has promised is true. So amen and amen. God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for loving us and watching over us. We thank You for what a great God You are. We thank You for a great week ahead that we can just live for You. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.